Well, it may bring great joy to your heart to know that Christmas has come and gone. You may be looking forward to a lazy summer, the opportunity to have friends over for a meal. You might have just had the whole family over for a great big Christmas meal and be so over food, at least for a week or so. It's a season, isn't it, for the backyard barbecue. It's a season for getting together with people, catching up with family and friends. And this morning we're going to have a look at what the Bible says concerning hospitality. I wonder what you think of when you think of the word hospitality. Some unrealistic cooking program, like My Kitchen Rules, not that I've ever watched it, but something like that. The unrealistic creations in Better Homes and Garden. Are you thinking of the stress of having people come over? Got to tidy the house. That's what I would think of, or my kids at any rate. Jono shared with us that he has to go and weed the front yard when I looked at it last time, tells me he hasn't had many people over there. Or he hasn't been doing what Kat asked him to, so I'll talk to him about that later. It's just me, is it? Okay, fair enough. So you guys all got weeded gardens. I didn't. Are you worried about when people come over to your house that they might not like the food that you've served, or maybe think that your house isn't as tidy as it should be? Or are you worried about the fact you might not have much to yarn about? We're going to touch on the subject of hospitality. There's an awful lot we could say. We're only going to touch on it, but I hope by the end of it we'll be actually pleasantly surprised and concerned and challenged, concerning how you view hospitality as a follower of Jesus. So with that in mind, let me pray. Our Lord and our God, help us to heed your word and to hear it. Lord, we pray that the distractions of our life that come into our brain all the time might be removed so that we can focus on what your word's saying. Help us, Lord, not to have it just stop in our heads but flow through to our hearts so that our lives will be transformed by your word. We ask this, Lord, in your precious name. Amen. Well, we're going to start our brief look at what the Bible says concerning hospitality by first of all asking, what is hospitality? The word that's translated hospitality in a couple of the readings that we had today, and certainly in most of the New Testament passages, but not all of them, is a Greek word concerned with loving strangers. But it comes from a wider group of words that is about how people associate together. And I hope by the end of it that you'll see that the Bible says a lot more about hospitality than just having a good barbecue together. The Bible's view of hospitality is the idea of people getting to know each other at a deeper level, and even getting to know God at a deeper level. Well, let's turn and see what the Old Testament says concerning hospitality. There's an awful lot we could touch in because it actually goes into some of the Jewish feasts and festivals, but we're not going to do all of it, you'll be pleased to know. There's a constant reminder in the Old Testament, though, to God's people that they are or have been, depending on the timing of what you're reading, they have been aliens and strangers in the land. It's a theme that best sets our understanding of how God's people is to show love to others. So if you've been an alien and a stranger, you know what it's like, so make sure that you are loving towards those that are aliens and strangers. Remember, that's where that word hospitality comes from in our New Testament, loving the stranger. There are a number of commands by God for God's people to treat aliens with love, and there are rebukes from God when they don't. It's interesting to know in the Old Testament there are significant good events that have take place in the lives of God's people that are actually centered around the hospitality that is shown. In 1 Kings 17, Elijah is shown great hospitality by the widow of Zarephath as she's preparing her last meal. There's nothing left in the fridge, not that she had one, and she just has oil and flour and making her last meal, really. And Elijah shows up and says, "Can I have some of that?" And so the widow and her son trust God enough to share what they have with Elijah. And actually, as a result, God blesses her and her food doesn't run out for the entire famine. In 2 Kings 4, Elisha is a similar situation. There's a Shunammite lady, and her and her husband decide to offer Elisha food and accommodation every time he comes by. Now, there's more to that story than just that, and you'll have to read it later on, 2 Kings 4. Also in the Old Testament, that's the positive side of things. Lots of positive things happen in the context of showing hospitality, but there's also a command from God to show for his people not to show hospitality to foreigners. That seems a bit strange, you might think. Well, this is a command that God's people often disobeyed. They welcome strangers into their midst, and the command is that they not welcome them in because they were going to adopt the evil practices and the false gods of whoever it was that the foreigners were. Sadly, King Solomon's actually the classic example of someone who disobeys God in this area. He goes to the point of marrying people, marrying foreign women, and adopting their false gods into his household, to his great detriment. Hospitality in the Old Testament could be best summed up with two words, just to sum it all up. Openness, be open to show people hospitality, but have boundaries. Openness with boundaries. I think they are the two words that best reflect how God's people are to show hospitality. The idea that you should never welcome strangers in or foreigners into your family is actually not biblical. But the idea that you should welcome all people in with no discernment is also not biblical. You see the openness with balance, or with boundaries, sorry. In the Old Testament, hospitality, as I mentioned right at the beginning, is shown in a number of the key Jewish festivals. And those festivals are used for caring for people sometimes who don't have things and provision, but it's also an instrument or means by which family and friends are discipled in the things God has done and the promises God has made. What we're going to see, I hope, as we look at this topic, is that hospitality is not about putting on a meal, it's about deepening a relationship. And that comes from an attitude that wants to grow closer to people. Well, let's briefly look at what it says in the New Testament. In the Gospels, we see that Jesus is shown hospitality a number of times. In fact, we even see that he shows hospitality when he feeds the 5,000 and things like that. He's a guest at Martha's place and at Zacchaeus' place. He's a guest at the wedding of Cana. And he's even a guest at the home of Pharisees, his enemies, or those who've set themselves up against him. What we see is that Jesus goes to the homes of people who are inquiring about him. He goes to the homes of people who have been converted and want to know what it means to follow God at a deeper level. And he goes to the homes of people who are directly opposed to him. So what we see from Jesus and from the other apostles is that hospitality is modelled and encouraged if you want to follow Jesus. Here's some things we need to pick up. It's not just modelled and encouraged. Hospitality is commanded. That's one of the reasons this topic's worthwhile looking at. Hospitality is not an option for us if we want to follow Jesus seriously. But remember, hospitality doesn't earn our spot in heaven. We don't invite people over for a meal or invite people into our home in order to impress God and earn brownie points with him. Hospitality flows from the fact we've been saved and redeemed through Jesus, and we want to serve and honour God's name. Here's a few passages where it's been commanded. Romans 12:13. Now, in Romans 12, there were lots of things commanded. In fact, you could have a dozen sermons on Romans 12, couldn't you? As you look at each of the things that have been commanded in the lives of God's people. What does it mean to be living sacrifices? What does it mean to put into practice God's good, pleasing and perfect will? Well, part of it is, in Romans 12:13, we need to be people who practice hospitality. In 1 Peter 4, verse 9, it calls on us to offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. That's actually, I think, saying don't just invite your favourites over all the time. It's actually, talking in the church context, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And note that we don't just show hospitality to strangers, which is, remember that word the loving the stranger, but it's also that level where you get to know the stranger among you even better. It's not the stranger that's from a foreign land or the stranger that's outside the church. It's actually the stranger that's among you. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, it talks about the church needing to love each other as brothers and sisters, and not to forget that some have entertained angels and when they've entertained strangers. I won't make any comments about that. I don't know whether I've got any angels yet. What it goes on to call on us is, as God's people, is to show our love, hospitality-wise, even to those who are in prison for their faith, those who are mistreated for their stand with Jesus. So Hebrews 13 sort of expands things out even more. It's not just a matter of bringing people into your house, it's going to the people that you can't come into your house and actually connecting with them and loving the stranger. We often think of hospitality as inviting people, don't we? But it's actually going out with that attitude. Matthew 25, Jesus has a parable that he's talking about God's coming judgment on all people. And he uses a parable in terms of separation of the sheep and the goats. And verse 35, Jesus identifies himself as a stranger and he says, this is what you need to do to strangers. And later on in that passage, he's saying, people say to him, listen, why did we get sent where we got sent? It's either sheep or goats. You know, I can't remember loving Jesus as a stranger. And Jesus says, as often as you did it for the least of my brethren, you did it for me. And he talks about feeding the hungry and the thirsty and caring for strangers and those in prison and the sick and the needy. If you did that, you're doing it for Jesus. That's something good to think about, isn't it? As we show love, Christian love, to people who don't know Christ or are within our midst who do know Christ, we're actually honouring God's name. We're not earning brownie points and earning our spot in heaven. It's about honouring the name of God. Another thing we see in the New Testament is that hospitality is often used in evangelism, and discipleship. One of the regular critiques people have of Jesus is that he eats with sinners and tax collectors. And Zacchaeus invites all his mates over for a meal. Now, he's either converted just before he invites his mates over, or he's converted in the meal, and his mates come to hear about Jesus, and he's either evangelized or discipled, and there's a blurry line in between, isn't there? The Philippian jailer gets converted and takes Paul back to his house, and him and his whole family are baptized. And Paul spends time talking with him about what it means to serve and honor Jesus. So in the New Testament, we see hospitality used for both evangelism and discipleship, and there's a blurry line in between. Another thing we see in the New Testament is that the hospitality, the same as the Old Testament, requires openness with boundaries. Jesus goes and eats in the house of sinners. But Jesus does not support the false teaching of the Pharisees, or he doesn't support the practices of the sinner. In 2 John chapter, there's not chapters in it, but in 2 John verse 9 through to verse 11, Christians are urged not to welcome false teachers into their homes. So that's a bit of a shock to us. Context of 2 John, it's talking about false teachers who do not continue in the teaching of Christ, and it says, they do not have God, they should not be welcomed into your home. Now, I think that parallels what we saw in the Old Testament, where people may be invited in, but don't be naive and invite their false gods in as well. Openness with boundaries. The same we see in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11. People who claim to be fellow Christians, but they continue in sexual immorality or greed or idolatry or slander or drunkenness or swindling, it says, with such a person, don't even eat. Yet in 2 John, verses 5 to 10, roughly, it talks about people who practice hospitality and encourages them greatly. In Timothy and Titus, the ability to be hospitable is actually one of the criteria that they should be looking for in the leaders of the church. In Romans 12, verse 20, one of the readings we had, if your enemy is hungry, you should feed him. If they are thirsty, you should give them something to drink. Openness with boundaries. Scripture wants you to be aware that to be aware that their threats are real. And if you know that if you know of threats to false teaching or leading people astray, don't give them a platform under the cover of hospitality. Don't be looking for excuses not to show hospitality, but don't be naive or blind. Well, there's a little bit of what the Bible says about hospitality. Let's do some thinking about how this should apply to us as individuals and maybe us as a church. How good are we at showing hospitality as an individual and as a church? Are our homes open to our brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you work hard at getting to know your brothers and sisters in Christ over a meal? When people come over, especially from your church family, do you just discuss the footy and the cricket? Do you seek to encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ in their walk with Jesus? Do you talk about stuff you've read in the Bible or maybe a Christian book that you've read or something you've learned about God and who he is and what he's done for you? Do you have questions that you'd like to ask? One of the main reasons we have morning tea after church is not just to fill up your Sunday mornings. It's actually to provide the opportunity for fellowship amongst ourselves. And regularly you get encouraged to have something to talk about that's related to the sermon or something like that during the week. I wonder whether we take those opportunities. The barbecues that we have once every second month in the church, one of the big aims of that is to get us together as a church to eat together and to talk about stuff that matters together. And that's important because there's a bunch of people you have often don't meet at the 8:30 service and vice versa. And we're all part of the same people of God. What about using your hospitality to reach out to those who don't yet know Jesus? So we've talked about how we fellowship together as a church family. What about using our hospitality to reach out to those who don't know Jesus? Have people over to your house and talk about stuff that matters. When Jesus gathered with people around the table, he didn't discuss the footy. What could you talk about with people at this time of year? Maybe you could share about the opportunities we've had as a church to share the gospel with the community, the carols, the Christmas display out the front, or the carols on the hill. You might like to talk about Christmas and what the real meaning of Christmas is. You might like to share about something you've read in the Bible. Most people have never read the Bible. They wouldn't know what's in it. Why not share with them about something you've read? Have you ever read the Bible? I read this incredible thing in the Bible last week. It talked about having to, as if you're a Christian, you should be showing hospitality to people. Maybe you could talk about a Christian response to one of the ethical issues that is relevant to our society at the time. Are you worried about how your conversations will flow? Are you worried about what people will think of your house if you're inviting them in? They are all really irrelevant stuff. If you really are worried about conversations and how they'll flow, invite two or three people over at the same time. If you're worried about what to say, do some thinking beforehand. As you read your Bible in the week, this is something I'd love to share with one of my Christian friends at church. This is something I could raise in a conversation with so-and-so who's coming over for a meal this week. Some of your conversations will work. Some of them won't work. Be prayerful that God will use them for his glory. Here's a question you may be able to discuss later over your morning tea. What are ways that we as a church can use hospitality for building up our brothers and sisters in Christ? What are ways that we as a church can use our hospitality to reach out to those who don't yet know Jesus? In your Bible study groups, what a great question to be able to ask. How are we as a Bible study group going to use hospitality to reach out to those who don't yet know Jesus? Here's some hurdles, I think, to showing hospitality. This is a list. Some of them are mine, some of them are others. You can probably relate to some of them and think of others. This list would be good to add to over morning tea, wouldn't it? Busyness and weariness. Being too busy, being too tired. That's probably one of the biggest hurdles to hospitality. I don't know what we do about that in a culture that's obsessively busy and obsessively tired. Maybe go to bed earlier for a bit beforehand, or maybe organise our diaries better. Maybe turn the TV off. I don't know. What you work out what works for you. Maybe you find it difficult to find common points of connection with other people, and that is true. Work at building up points of connection. Maybe your fear of vulnerability or rejection is pretty high for you. Will the people like us? Will they like the food we have? What will they think of the house we live in? How tidy it is and all that sort of stuff? Maybe a hurdle for you is it's difficult to penetrate conversations to a meaningful level. Do some planning. Do some praying. Talk to people about how they get conversations at a meaningful level. We also struggle as a society because we live in communities that are increasingly impersonal and self-focused. And it is harder to be hospitable. People live in houses with locked gates. They drive in cars straight into their driveway after they put the roller door up and down again after behind them. It's harder to connect with them. They've got gates in their own places, gated communities. They work long hours. People are busy socialising with their kids and little time to socialise with each other. There's a whole list of reasons, isn't it? We also live in a community that is very transitory in nature. Here's a bit of a challenge. If we're encouraged, let me put there commanded, to be hospitable, how can we grow more hospitable? How can we use our hospitality in ways that glorify God in this coming year? What does it mean to glorify God? Not just have lots of people over for a barbecue. It means to use the time that you spend with them at the barbecue, or whatever, to reach out to those who don't yet know Jesus and to build up those who do. Let's pray, shall we? Our loving Heavenly Father, as we think through what it means to be more hospitable, we pray, Lord God, that you use us in this coming year, change our hearts, help us to be proactive and planned in getting to know each other in our congregation and also getting to know those outside our church family with the desire to share the gospel with them given the opportunity. Lord, we pray for confidence in conversations and we pray, Lord God, that we'll talk about stuff that matters. We ask this, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.